Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Listener mail, this is Robert Lamb.
And this is Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from our mailbox. If you have never gotten in touch before, why not email us? You can reach us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. We like messages of any sort, especially feedback to recent episodes, and especially if you've got something interesting to add to a topic we recently talked about on the show. But whatever else you want to write about, that's fine too. Send it on in, contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. What you got going on right now, Rob?
Well, nobody asked about this, but I'm no listeners asked about it, obviously. But I do want to throw in that in our Weird House Cinema episode about The Viewing, the topic of Lapsang Soochong tea came up. And at the time, none of us had any experience drinking it before. So after we talked about it a little bit, I ordered some up. I've now brewed up a few different cups of it. And I have attempted to add the perfect amount of honey so that I can have the proper viewing experience. And I have to say, it's a very interesting tea. I was a little frightened at first when I smelled just the pure smokiness of the dried tea, but the taste is a lot more subtle. And I think I'm growing to like it.
Tastes like tea, smells like a big old barbecue brisket.
Well, at first, that was kind of what the sense I got when I opened the pouch of tea for the first time, you know, like the whole house immediately smelled like this kind of like smoked, you know, deeply smoked, almost liquid smoke kind of a scent. Mm-hmm. But that dissipated, and then once it's brewed up, you know, it's I find that the aroma is not as intense, and it is not like core to the flavor.
You know, it's interesting. I find that I really enjoy smoky flavors in food. And so I like some smoky ingredients, but smelling the smoky ingredients on their own, I often find kind of unpleasant. Like, one example is smoked paprika. If you ever want a like vegetarian alternative to adding bacon to a dish, smoked paprika will get you part of the way there. I mean, it doesn't have pork fat in it, but it brings a lot of that great smoky aroma that you get from like a smoked meat product and some of that complexity. But I find when I just smell smoked paprika by itself, it is an overpowering and unpleasant aroma. It's only good once it goes into the mix with other things.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way about, honestly, about like scotch and alcohol of that nature. You know, it's like I just straight scotch, I never had a real passion for. But I did like some cocktails that had scotch in them.
Well, I guess there are smoky scotches and non-smoky scotches.
Yeah. Some really go for it.
The peat trolls that, yeah.
Anyway, enough about my beverages. I'll be back in a future listener mail episode to talk about the perfect screwdriver.
That's right. Okay, let's go on to our first messages. We're going to kick things off today with a two-part response to our series on anomalous imagery. This is two different emails from our listener, Ian. Let's see. Rob, do you want to read the first one here?
All right, here we go. Dear Rob and Joe, I was listening to your recent episode about the Dendera light and your brief discussion of palimpsest that made me realize that there is a form of palimpsest that most of your listeners will be familiar with, though they've probably never thought about it in those terms. I certainly hadn't. It is the computer hard drive. There is, of course, the surface level comparison, wherein hard drives are erased and overwritten repeatedly as you use your computer, but the similarities go deeper than that. For instance, when you delete a file on your computer, the actual data is not erased from the drive, only the reference to that data that tells your computer operating system where on the drive the file is located in order to access it. On a mechanical hard drive, or HDD, I am not sure how applicable this information may be to newer solid-state drives, or SSDs, the actual data comprising the file remains on the drive until the computer needs that space for another file, and only then is actually overwritten. Even then, the overwriting is not perfect, and it is sometimes possible to use special software to recover old data that is underneath newer data, at least partially. For this reason, there is even security software available for computers which use sensitive data, which constantly overwrites the empty portions of the drive with junk data to ensure that any deleted files are truly obliterated and not recoverable. It is somewhat akin to scribbling on and then erasing a chalkboard over and over to ensure that everything that was once written on it can't still be read. Finally, your discussion of what I'm going to call open-minded skepticism, involving being highly skeptical of any claims that such and such has done by aliens, while still being open to the possibility that one day evidence of alien intelligence may be discovered, reminded me of a saying often used on the PBS Spacetime YouTube channel when discussing new and strange observations in astronomy. The saying goes, remember, it's never aliens until it's aliens. Thank you for doing more than your fair share of encouraging curiosity and reminding us all of the importance of open-minded skepticism, Ian.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Ian. And yeah, I appreciate the shout out to the PBS Spacetime show. I'm not a regular viewer, but I think I've watched a few episodes of that and thought they were quite good. As for the idea of a palimpsest being sort of reproduced, at least metaphorically, or I don't know, maybe you could say literally, in a computer hard drive. Yeah, that's interesting. So palimpsests came up in our discussion because we were talking about how, like, so an ancient Egyptian inscription, you know, there might be one set of hieroglyphics on it at one point, and then there would be, you know, that would decay over time, and then there would be a process of maybe partially plastering over that and then putting new inscription, like new information in it, maybe new hieroglyphics or illustrations of things on top of the old one. And this would happen on maybe the walls of a temple or like a monument or something like that. And the result was that you could get these sort of illusory emergent mixtures of the two different inscriptions. So you could have the part on top decaying, and then part of the hieroglyphics represented there would sort of bleed into where the hieroglyphics below were revealed, creating these symbols that aren't actually part of the language. They're just sort of like, you know, these random emergent bleed through kind of creations. And some of them look like weird stuff, like a helicopter or something like that. Anyway, so I wonder if by way of this analogy with a computer hard drive being like a palimpsest, you could get similar things. Like in the future, will there be people looking back in time at like a preserved computer hard drive, or maybe the data image of a preserved computer hard drive, and see things emerging, see illusory like sentences or something emerging because of splicing together of data from different points of overwriting? I don't know if it actually works like that, or works in a way that would give rise to that sort of thing. But I don't know. That's interesting.
It's far less romantic to me, yeah. Sounding to me anyway. But, you know, future societies may feel differently about the matter.
Will bits of work emails appear to run straight through into snippets of text from your discarded draft of your erotic vampire novel?
Well, all vampire novels are erotic, Joe.
Okay, we got a second email from Ian. Ian says, Dear Rob and Joe, last week I wrote in about open-minded skepticism and PBS Spacetime's approach that it's never aliens until it's aliens. As of the time of writing this, I've not yet listened to the listener mail episode that previous message would have appeared on. Well, you certainly have not, because it's this one today. Ian says, so I don't know yet if you read it on the air. In the interim, I have now listened to your previous listener mail, and the discussion about the difficulty of traveling between stars making visitation by aliens unlikely. I share Joe's view that I don't find any supposed difficulty particularly convincing when we're presumably talking about beings with far more advanced technology than we have. By the way, for people who don't remember that previous discussion or didn't hear it, my point was that I wouldn't rule out the possibility of alien visitation on Earth based on saying, oh, it's just too difficult to travel between stars, because my view now is just that I don't think we know enough to say whether that's too difficult or whether it's possible or not. You know, that's just an open question. But that doesn't mean I think aliens have been visiting the Earth. I just think that that is not a particular reason I would rule it out. Instead, I would just say, where's the evidence? But Ian comes back to say, once again, PBS Spacetime has become relevant, specifically the episode, Is Interstellar Travel Possible? That episode discusses the dangers and difficulties posed by traveling to another star and investigates whether they are solvable. The oversimplified version is that traveling from one star to the next should be doable, if not exactly with our current technology, then with technology only a little more advanced than we currently possess. Essentially, from a physics standpoint, we know the problem is solvable, and achieving it is what I like to call an engineering problem. Granted, actually solving that problem would be a massive undertaking for our current civilization, and it certainly wouldn't be easy, but there's no reason to think it couldn't be done. As Matt, I guess that's the host of PBS Spacetime, as Matt sums up in the episode, the universe may be trying to kill us, but it's not trying quite hard enough. That's good. So given that traveling from one star to another is conceivably achievable in the not too distant future, technologically at least, resource allocation being an entirely different matter, just like how no one has gone back to the moon since the 70s, despite us clearly having the technology. A civilization even a few hundred or thousand years more advanced than ours should be able to do it without too much trouble. Certainly not so much trouble that it serves as an explanation for why UAPs can't be aliens, or as a satisfactory answer to the Fermi paradox. Personally, I find Occam's razor a far more convincing argument against alien visitation than any specific practical objection as to why it's impossible. As always, thank you for your wonderful and enlightening podcast, Ian. Well, thank you for both emails, Ian. And I would say regarding the second one, I think you're right on the money. I would agree with you here. I don't see any particular reason to rule out the possibility of alien visitation. The stuff about the difficulty of traveling, that doesn't seem like a prohibitive consideration to me, though it is something I guess we should consider, you know, arguments of that sort. But that's not enough to rule it out for me. Instead, it's just the dearth of good evidence, like we've been talking about in these episodes. It's just like you would expect at some point to have good evidence that it's actually aliens and not just one of the millions of things that, you know, we've seen over and over again being mistaken for aliens, like balloons and camera artifacts and airplanes and birds and natural geological formations and animals of various types and all kinds of weird looking natural phenomena and pieces of human technology always being mistaken for aliens. And then when you get more information, oh, actually, this is what it is.
Yeah, you know, I still come back to the scale of things, though, in thinking about all this. And I was reminded of this after our initial episodes where we were discussing this, because I was listening to the audiobook of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And there's one great part in there where Douglas Adams is talking about how the sheer size of the universe is such that the human imagination cannot contain it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a well-written little phrase there to sort of sum it up. Like, it is just so big that even when we think we are understanding the scale we're talking about here, we're only sort of summoning up a placeholder of how truly vast it is and how small we are and how insignificant we are in terms of both, location and also duration. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. All right, shall we dive into a little stickiness?
Oh, yeah.
All right. This one comes to us from Kenny. Kenny says, hi, Rob, Joe, and JJ. I was fascinated by your discussion on the atomic stickiness of gecko feet. I wonder what the evolutionary path for that adaptation was like. Anyway, the topic reminded me of highly polished metals sticking to one another. I'm a PC gamer and enjoy building and upgrading my machine every few years. The central processor in a PC is covered by an integrated heat spreader over which a cooling fan or water block is placed. Since the metal surfaces aren't perfectly smooth, a thermal paste must be applied to fill all the tiny air pockets before the cooler is screwed down. This ensures adequate heat transfer. But better cooling means more performance, so people will take it to the extremes. I saw an enthusiast who had lapped the integrated heat spreader on his CPU. He employed the, quote, Whitworth three-plate method, which involves three metal plates labeled A, B, and C. With the aid of an abrasive, they are used to polish one another in alternating pairs, A and B, then B and C, then C and A, and so on. The plates smooth one another out and can then be used to polish other objects to very high degrees of smoothness. After lapping both the IHS and the underside of his water block, he achieved such high polish that they fit together perfectly enough to effectively leave zero trapped gas to act as insulation. What he discovered after the test fitting was that the CPU adhered to the bottom of the cooling block. It was sticky enough to pull the CPU from the socket when he lifted the block. I now realize this must have been due to the van der Waals force, as the atoms of the two components were close enough to act as if they were in a single piece of metal. I saw the Action Lab exploring a similar phenomenon in this video about gauge blocks, and Kenny includes a link. I'd meant to send you a topic idea, but this turned into a pretty lengthy email, so I'll save it for next time. Thanks for everything you do, Kenny.
Oh, thank you, Kenny. That's really interesting. So if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying like that with enough polishing and smoothing of a flat piece of metal, it will stick to another polished flat piece of metal. So like even without an adhesive, you just like touch them together and they get stuck as if they are glued. And that would make sense. I want to be clear that I don't feel confident to judge what are the operative forces here, especially since like even experts in this area sometimes disagree about like what are the most operative forces and why things are sticking together. But van der Waals force, from what I know, does seem like a plausible explanation. So like normally things don't stick to one another due to van der Waals forces because not enough of their atoms are actually getting close enough together for van der Waals forces to activate. But that's like how the gecko feet work. You know, they've got so many of these extremely tiny little hairs on them that fill in all the nooks and crannies of whatever surface they're touching and get so close to the atoms in the surface that van der Waals forces take over and they stick. Most normal things, even when they're touching each other, just can't get that close. And so it sounds like that could be what's happening with these highly polished pieces of metal. Mm-hmm. Though I would wonder also if there is... if there's a suction cup thing going on here, like if the gas between two things is evacuated in some sense, but there is some kind of cavity between them, if there, it's kind of like pushing a suction cup onto a piece of glass or something. I don't know. Maybe if the polishing wouldn't really leave enough pockets for there to be voids with negative pressure. I don't know.
Well, I mean, one thing that we learned from just looking at the research regarding gecko feet is that, you know, it's possible that there are more than one like adhesive situation going on at once with a given scenario. So we have to acknowledge that.
That's right. More than one mechanism could be working at the same time. Mm-hmm. But very interesting, Kenny. Thank you. Okay, I think we're going to finish things out today with a message about Weird House Cinema. We have some more good messages, but for time reasons, I think we need to save them for next week. So one more today. This is about Weird House Cinema, and this comes to us from Chalk. Chalk says, "Hi, guys. On Weird House Cinema on September 1st, and as an aside, this would be talking about The Devil's Men, a.k.a. Land of the Minotaur." Chalk continues saying, "You said the priest and comrade went to the church to get weapons, specifically a crucifix and some holy water. Apparently the filmmaker was also lazy about checking facts. Holy water is just water blessed by a priest. He didn't have to go looking for it. He could have just made some." Because he was a priest, right? Yeah, he is a priest. So he could just get some out of the tap, I guess, and bless
That's
it.
That's true.
But Chalk says, well, what? Too anticlimactic? Probably. Anyway, thanks for all your shows, Chalk. You know, this is a case where I think it was just more important to be dramatic than to be factual. So they wanted to send him to a roadside chapel, kind of decaying scenic roadside chapel to get the holy water and get all the tools of holiness, which, by the way, I don't even recall them using the holy water in the movie. Did they use it? I think Donald Pleasant, he just says some Latin and they all blow up.
But I thought that he also like splashes holy water on them or on the Minotaur. But yeah, he makes everybody blow up, and I'm not sure everybody was touched by the holy water, so it's a little foggy.
The Latin would have done it, but I agree. If Rob said in the episode that it was, you know, it was a nice dramatic moment, and I agree. In a movie that was somewhat lacking in nice dramatic moments, I felt like that one kind of worked.
Yeah, some of the nicest scenes were Donald Pleasance doing church stuff. Like there's a scene where he's praying in that where, you know, it's just establishing his character, really. There's nothing amazing about it, but it's a nice sequence. It's well framed and all. And then we get a similar vibe. I mean, these were probably shot at the same location, like the yeah. same afternoon. They were particularly inspired that day. I don't know.
I think that's probably right. Okay, does that do it for today?
Yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and close up the mailbag, but we'd love to hear from everyone. Keep them coming in if you have thoughts about current, past, and future episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind. You have any thoughts about the various movies we've discussed on Weird House Cinema on Fridays. Also just responses to other listener mails or our short-form Artifact and Monster Fact episodes. Or the thoughts about where else the Monster Fact Artifact concept can go. Like, is there something else or some other kind of fact to be born? I was thinking like, true crime is all the gauge. Should I start doing the murder fact?
Probably not. I would vote against
the murder fact. Okay. But we're brainstorming here. So all ideas are valid.
What if it's the minnow fact and it's just minotaur facts every week?
Oh, well, we could make that work for probably a month. But then again, we're just basically doing a sub show of the monster fact. So it would be the monster fact minnow fact or something to that effect.
Yeah, I guess so.
Except when we're talking about artifacts, then it's the monster fact minnow fact artifact. Mm. And then it starts getting complicated. Then we're lost in the labyrinth.
Okay, I think we got to wrap it up.
All right, take us home, Joe.
Huge thanks to our regular audio producer, JJ Posway, and our guest audio producer today, Chandler Mays. If you would like to get in touch with us, once again, you can reach us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.